Bodies in Motion, How to Remove the Barriers for the Disabled, Getting Out of a Wheelchair and into Action. Take a listen to a clip of an upcoming production at the University of Hawaii entitled Integral Bodies. Now, the production is focused on inclusive dance and challenges stereotypes about disabled bodies.
I don't know, I just feel like, I guess, self-conscious in a way.
Sometimes I feel kind of invisible because I'm older.
People tell me, do not compare myself to other people. That's just the way how society works.
I really try to just accept like, who I am, what I look like.
A human being trying to make a way in life.
Choreographer Alito Alessi is in town to work with UH students and talk up what's possible for an underserved community. Alessi is a Guggenheim and the American National Endowment for the Arts Fellowship recipient.
There are two things that actually got me started in the particular field. First of all, my generation of dancers and choreographers, which was the late 60s, early 70s, always talked about all people could dance, but nobody ever did anything about it. So in 1987, I finally realized that I was one of those hypocrites who's not doing anything about the philosophy they talk a lot about. And so I created a workshop called Dance for Anybody to see what would happen. And 100 people came to the very first workshop. So it seemed like a pretty good idea, even though at the time I wasn't really prepared for what has now become the danceability method. I didn't really know what to do. I just thought it was a good thing to do. The other thing that has had an influence on my work, although at the time of beginning it, I didn't really realize, was that I had 3 people with disabilities in my family. They weren't really, I never considered them, like, for example, I never thought, oh, that's my disabled mother. It was like, that's my mom. She just happens to have a wheelchair. And that's my sister. She had polio. And that's my father's uncle. He's just a fun-loving guy, you know. And all 3 of them had disabilities. And so, in a way, danceability kind of found me. And the philosophy of danceability is that you accept people as they are and you move forward from that position.
But it sounds like people were really hungry for this type of acknowledgement?
Well, you know, I think most people at the time didn't really realize, and still is true, the value of the work. Like, when you say people were really hungry, I think mostly you think about people with disabilities wanting to have more access or equal access in a democratic society. But the truth is that it's a mutual learning scenario that benefits every person involved, no person learning more than someone else. So it's not really work for the disabled, it's work for all people, with the belief that what happens in a diverse society, which is honest reflection of itself, is where the most learning happens and where the most valuable information about relationship and community can evolve to facilitate creating true democracy.
I know somebody who was in a wheelchair temporarily who said it was like I became invisible.
That's absolutely true. I mean, in relationship to this project that I'm about to do, people with various forms of disability become invisible and have no access to a lot of things, including relationships, but in particular in relationship to this project, no access to artistic expression. Their physicality is often expected to just be functional and non-expressive. And so the hierarchy, the sort of systematic oppression of people with disabilities prevents them from being involved in many kinds of things, including artistic expression. And so in all walks of life, it's true. People with disabilities, on one level, they're not really looked at or respected or seen. People see the chair or the devices, And often a lot of attitudes, I think paralyzed attitudes, I would say, are that if you see a person with a disability, you assume you know a lot about them. And generally, those are not very positive thoughts. The danceability is trying to sort of erase some of those assumptions that go along with the way people perceive people they know nothing about and replace experiences for assumptions. Once you're in a room with a mixed abilities group of people, that means people with any kind of disability and any kind of able-bodied person from various forms of professional walks of life, if you might say, they soon realize that there's a lot to be gotten from the relationships.
Now, here in Hawaii, aerial yoga or aerial dance has kind of taken off. I would imagine that there'd be lots of opportunities for folks with disabilities to do these things, to, you know, get on a silk and do incredible things in the air.
Yeah, with the right kind of support and I think also the right kind of guidance and teaching, it could be amazing. Because the one thing is, when you work in a mixed abilities group, you can't really use the same language that you're familiar to working with. So, like, danceability has created a specific all-inclusive language of ways of to be able to teach all people the same information using the same language. And most forms, like aerial yoga or whatever, they have a language that's been developed for primarily able-bodied people. And there's some really specific things about the use of language to make it really not only give them an experience, but give them an opportunity to learn the same way everyone else learns.
So what do we need to do to make this accessible to our young people?
Well, what we've been doing is we have a lot of children, different kinds of children programs. So we perform with disabled and able-bodied performers in the schools. We also have parent and children classes or adult and children classes. We sometimes set up classes for disabled and able-bodied children a lot. Sometimes we work in institutions where there are just disabled children, and we try to work with the educational system to figure out ways of programming in physical education with both disabled and able-bodied kids together. I mean, that's really an important thing that you bring up, is that ultimately children don't have the prejudice and the assumptions that adults have about people with disabilities, and kids in their early part of their life are just fine with working with disability and working with disabled kids. And as they grow up, that separation gets greater and greater. But if they had more opportunity to work together continuously, not only as young kids and then it goes away, that would be a great facility for society. It's not only like, how can we benefit disabled children, it's about how can we benefit all people, and with the knowledge and wisdom that we get from an equal exchange of humanity, we take that education and that information into community building and to basically orientation towards building society. In my work, I believe that society has disabilities and that people are people. You know, it doesn't really matter what a person's condition is. It matters how are they able to function in society.
So you've been all over the country with this concept. What's
happening? I've been all over the world. Yes. We have 600 trained, certified staff in 45 countries. I was just, Danceability International was just chosen as one of 10 global organizations that has been honored last in the United Nations, where we got to make presentations and speak about the work that we are doing and how it can actually help change the world. And at that conference, where we received an award from what's called the Zero Project and the Ashoka Foundation, there were 82 nations represented.
Is there anything that you've seen that you were particularly touched by as you've gone to different countries?
Well, I mean, I think that things are very much the same in most places, although some cultures are a little bit more advanced. The United States is a little bit more advanced. The northern Scandinavian countries are. But the thing that touches me the most is when you go to a culture like in Mongolia or Indonesia, where you have people with disabilities who never leave their home. or if they get out of their home, they can't get in a bus, or they can get some from one place to another, they can't get in a building anywhere. I mean, recently when I was sponsored by the State Department to go to Mongolia and train people there, and there was a 13-year-old girl in my class who had never been in a social environment beyond her house. And so those things, I mean, are a little bit shocking. And then another thing that's happened recently, I was just in Ambato, Ecuador, where a mother brought her child who literally was like in living coma, alive and breathing, but no one knew how his mind worked or if it worked. But yet, through the methodology of my work, we're able to really be involved with, like I said, all people. And in the group that I was working with, someone asked the question. They said, "Well, why do you work with him?" His name was Martin. "Because he doesn't even know if we're with him." And I said, "You see his mother over there, how happy she is? That happiness is contagious." So in the method, I literally mean all people, in that we have a system, a practical recipe book that we can give people so that you can identify what it is that you need to know to establish what we call a common denominator. So how can you begin something together and isolate nobody? Because we see the problem not what is someone's condition, but what and how are they isolated and separated from the rest of society, and we try to eliminate that isolation.
So really, though, you also then give them a freedom. You know, if they're trapped in a body that is has limited mobility, you kind of give them this freedom of expression to move.
Yes, you know, in a way you don't really understand what that might be for that individual who we don't really know how their or if their mind works. But the people that relate to them find a whole new self, part of themselves that also facilitates them in their personal liberation, because you can't liberate anyone else unless you liberate yourself. So
we grow together.
Yes, exactly.
That was Danceability Artistic Director Alito Alessi, who's in Honolulu to give a talk, All Bodies Speak. It actually starts this afternoon, 4 p.m., in the Earl Ernst Lab Theater at UH Manoa. It's a prelude to theater and dance main stage production, a season production entitled Integral Bodies. That production runs April 5th through April 14th.